Hey, what's up, everyone? On today's episode, I had the opportunity to sit down for an in-depth chat with American country singer-songwriter Charlie Reynolds. In this news episode, Charlie talked about new single Flowers, creation behind the song One Day at a Time, where her open book of honesty comes from, 2023 CMT Music Awards, auditioning for American Idol plus The Voice, whether she sees herself doing Idol again, first ever release concert, admiration for Shania Twain and Carrie Underwood, laying roots down in Nashville, how she overcome the feeling of being homesick, her love for baking, and more. Now, with that being said, hope you enjoy my conversation with Charlie. Charlie, hello.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I mean, it's great to talk to you since everything has gone down with your new single out called Flowers.
Yes.
Talk to me about the process behind creating that song.
Yeah, so I actually wrote it almost 2 years ago now, with Rachel Wiggins and Caroline Watkins. And we sat down, we were at my house, and Caroline brought up the idea of the title Flowers and kind of what the idea would be behind it. And we loved it, me and Rachel. So we just rolled with it and wrote it, and we loved it. And it's got such a sentimental feeling to it and such a powerful message that you can do it yourself. You can go buy yourself flowers. If someone else is not fulfilling you in those ways, then if you're not ready to leave, then do it yourself, you know?
Absolutely. We also have to talk about the CMT Music Awards.
Yes.
And before we even get to that, I have to say that Flowers is a really, I guess, I don't know how to really describe it. It's more of the personal journey through heartbreak, through love, and all those things. Well, actually, when I think about like music and songs, I think of it as like an audio documentary, but short formed.
Yeah.
For experiences that people go through. Tell me, the process behind sort of, or I guess, how do I describe this? The journey through that audio documentary, but in song version, how does that sort of work for you?
Yeah, I mean, with that one specifically, I think we definitely did a good job of painting the picture through imagery. And showing, we were describing the instances of him being in the grocery store and seeing the flowers but not getting them, or him being, too busy. It maybe this woman's like making excuses, and I feel like a lot of women maybe do that, and men do that, because they don't want to leave this person. They want to love this person still, but it's not being reciprocated. And I feel like we definitely had a way of doing it in like a heart-wrenching manner. And it's funny because it's so sad. Miley Cyrus came out with her Flowers, which is funny because I was all worried about mine, after that, because I was like, shoot, this song went number one. But it's funny because somebody commented on my TikTok and was like, this is like the prequel to Miley Cyrus's. This is the one where you're like sad and you're trying to figure out what you're gonna do. It's like the sad girl version. And then Miley's is like, once you're finally out of that, there you go. So this one's like finding your way through, I think.
Absolutely. And we have to talk about the CMT Music Awards. You interviewed a lot of artists. Tell me about that experience, just being able to walk the carpet, but also getting to talk to some of the people that were being nominated or were just there for attendance wise, I
Yeah.
guess.
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. I was so excited because number one, I always love an excuse to get a dress, that which was one of my favorite parts about going to trying on dresses. And also the opportunity to meet all these artists was so cool. Like Country Now, I am so thankful for them letting me do that and choosing me to do that, which was really awesome. In the beginning, I was a bit nervous because I'm normally the one answering questions, like right now, like I'm normally the one on the other side, not the one coming up with the questions. And so we did have some, like, ahead of time that I had on cards, but it's different, in person. And so anyway, it was a blast. I got to meet a lot of the artists that I never actually got to meet before, but we knew each other from social media, which was fun. And one of my good friends, Tiara, was nominated for an award. So it was cool that I got to like be there with her and interview her on the carpet. But man, it was crazy to see how a carpet works. You know, it was very chaotic in the best way, but it was just wild. It's complete chaos, again, in the best way, but it is wild. I mean, and I think it started around 4 and it went till 7. So it's like 3 hours of constant, you know, people running around, busy stuff happening. It was crazy, but it was literally so much fun. It almost feels like a blur.
For sure. And, you know, there was a lot of artists that came around and that you got to chat with. One being, you know, there's something about people when they get interviewed that cracks you up so hard. I was watching your interview with the artist you were talking to, and you know, the only person that really stood out to me was Jelly Roll. You know, he comes in and he does the interview, but you know, he's coming in loaded with awards.
Yes.
And you know, he's just a character. He has a personality that's like so infectious. Tell me about like the experience with talking to Jelly Roll.
Oh my
after
gosh.
Winning.
He is exactly what you said. He is a character. I mean, he was so kind and so outgoing. I mean, when he came over, he had just won the first award of the night. And so he was so excited, which was really cool for me to be able to interview him right after that. You know, I've always heard such great things about him. And those all rang true, you know, when he came over to me, so kind, wanted to know my name, shook my hand, was just excited. And he was so funny because he like did his own little outro in the interview. I don't know if you saw it, but it was like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was like 3-time nominated, first time winner, something, Jelly Roll. Like, he's just hilarious. I enjoyed talking to everybody, but I definitely really enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, like there was something that he said on the outro that was really funny as well. You know, like obviously he was saying something about himself, but he's like also like basically pinpointing everything that he's won already. And then he ends with his name as the outro, and it's hilarious for people who haven't seen it yet. Go watch it, because he's quite the character when it comes to being on carpets and going into award shows. But we have to talk about also your musical inspirations. You do talk a lot about Shania Twain, Carrie Underwood. And what I didn't know about you was you actually auditioned for American Idol.
I did. Yeah. I auditioned in 2020. Yes.
Yeah. What do you remember from that journey?
Yeah, I mean, it was so fun. I actually, when I was 15, I think is the age, I auditioned for The Voice as well and American Idol. Probably I did The Voice like almost every year. And by the time I had always gotten to a certain point, you know, in the thing right before the blinds. And anyway, I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm not doing these ever again. It's a waste of time. I'm not doing it. But it was always fun, and it was always great meeting the people that were there. Like, I would never trade that for the world, because I'm still friends with those people. But then American Idol reached out to me and asked me to do it in 2020. And I said no, because I was like, I'm not doing these shows again. You know, I've done them so many times. And they reached out again, still said no. And then they reached out one more time, and I was like, you know what? It was during COVID. So they were like, it's at home, you know, if you want to do it. And it's not like no in a bad way. It was just like, I don't want to put myself through all this again, to go do everything and then get let down. So anyway, I ended up doing it. I auditioned for the producers over Zoom, which was so interesting because it was like in my house. It was very weird. And then I got flown out to audition for the judges, and it was the most fun experience ever. I didn't make it through the judges, but it was like so fun. Me and my mom were in California for 6 days, and we met all these incredible people, and just getting to audition finally in front of the judges was really cool. They were all very nice. Luke and Lionel like were hilarious, and I just really valued that experience. It was really, really fun. And I would do it again. Honestly, now I can say I would do it again.
Absolutely. And the thing about American Idol, there's so many layers to getting to the judges first and foremost, because it's not like you go straight to the judges, because you go through layers of producers and executive producers, and then they lead you to them, and then another group of people and another set of people, and then they get you eventually to the judges round. I mean, it's got to be exhausting to go through that whole process and then end up letting yourself down, or feeling like you're letting yourself down, because I feel like those are two different things.
100%.
It's not like you're trying to let yourself down. It's just a feeling of, man, if I don't go that far, do I feel like I failed? So talk to me how you really encourage yourself, or find an encouragement to get back up and keep doing what you're doing.
I mean, in this business, there's always so many no's, before a yes, or, and at 15, when I auditioned for The Voice, I literally thought my career was over. Like, when I didn't make it, I was like, that's it, I'm done, because I didn't realize, what I had to come to terms with and what I had to realize in myself to be able to do that again was that these shows are shows. They are for entertainment, and they know what they're looking for each season. It's not that I'm bad or that I don't have potential. It's that I might not be what they're looking for right now, or my story isn't what they need right now. So it's all, but as a 15-year-old, that was really hard. I really had a hard time with it, especially because I had posted it all over social media. My parents did, because we didn't know how it worked. And so I think it was just that embarrassment of being like, oh, I didn't make it. But now, for me, older and having done it multiple times, now I see, it's amazing to just be able to do that and to get the opportunity to do that. It's very cool, no matter if you make it or not, So I think it's just a mindset thing. Once you realize that it's not you, it's the show, that makes you feel a lot better. I feel like that's how I got through it as a teenager.
Do you see yourself ever trying out again for American Idol in the future?
I do, honestly, because I think it's great exposure. I think it's so much fun, again, to like meet all the people. And so I honestly have been thinking about it for this upcoming year. So we'll see. We will see.
Yeah. Are you watching this season of American Idol?
I have been seeing some on my TikTok, but I'm not watching it. I haven't.
Oh, you're missing out on this
I've
season.
heard it's like one of the best yet, which
You're missing out
is
on probably one of the greatest seasons.
really?
You're missing out. It's
I need to
a
go
really
back
good
and watch it
season.
then. Maybe
It's a
I'll
really
watch
good season. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. There's a Mary Beth Bird who's on this season. There's a guy named Thongi. He's from Hawaii, but he re recently moved to Seattle, and he's basically really blown off from American Idol. And it's from his first audition that he performed Monsters by James Blunt. And then people sort of gravitated towards that performance and started sharing it with other people. And then it's got like millions of views already on that
That is so
video
cool.
itself. And TikTok has blown up for him as well, which is crazy to see
I probably
how one thing can lead to another. That's the thing.
That's wild.
And so there was something about also your career-wise that somebody was asking you. I remember just doing some research about what you're talking about in your career, and a lot of the things that people were asking you was, what is your favorite moment of your career so far? And the answer that you gave was sort of, I guess your first release concert was sort of like a memorable experience for you. You said the concert could not have gone any better. Of course, the lights not working was the last thing could have expected to happen, but the show must go on, and I think it added a little more fun to the show. Walking out on stage to my first single on the EP, Wonderland, seeing all the friendly faces reminded me of the amazing support system that I am so blessed to have. In that moment, I knew this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So when you think back to that first release concert and that thing that you just mentioned in that quote, what comes to mind?
That makes me a little emotional, not gonna lie. Man, I mean, I feel like I've become so, I feel like I'm just so blessed, truly, because that I often forget about that. You know, I forget about playing shows at home, and I just did one back in, it was actually a year ago now. It was a year ago this week. And I hadn't played there since that show, since that release show back, my first one. And it was the same feeling of that support, you know, the same people came out, the new people came out, and it was genuinely like the best feeling ever to have to have such an incredible support system, because I don't know what I would do. I know not everybody has that. And that's a big part of who I am, my community of where I'm from, because I probably would not be doing this if I didn't have not only my parents and my family, but my whole community at home supporting me so much. It's really a big blessing that I often forget about sometimes, you know?
Yeah, and the passion that you're talking about having that love for doing music full time now, you know, you moving to Nashville to really dig your roots down and really get to work and put your head down and grind for that career. It's hard in itself to do that. And it's hard in itself to, I guess, put yourself out there. If that's the best way to get the experiences to go out and play shows at little dive bars or where you grew up, which is Orlando, Florida, and performing in different small locations there, and people discovering you from one to another, and then somebody suggesting to another person, and then it leads you to finding your home roots, I guess, now in Nashville and in Tennessee. How important is that for you to set some roots down finally and really feel like it's a sense of home, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's such an important thing for me, especially because I'm such a family person, that it was very hard for me to do that and to feel like home, you know? And now I feel like I've been able to surround myself with such amazing friends that have become family. And, you know, I've got my dog. She's at daycare right now, but I've got me and my dog. And I think if you have those people in your life that are there for you like family, then it feels like home. You know, it's Orlando will always be my first home, but I talk about, you know, when I go home to Orlando, I talk about Nashville being my home. You know, when I go back home, when I go back, you know, to my house. So it's become very much my home, which is really cool because it didn't feel like that for the first 2 years living here. I live with my brother for a little while out in Spring Hill, which is kind of far. So it was just too far out of Nashville. I didn't know what I was doing. Now that I feel like I've got a circle of people, a circle of writers, and I, you know, have kind of a little bit of a routine, it's kind of got screwed up over the last couple of months, but I feel like it's my home now, which I'm very proud and happy to say.
And if you don't mind me asking, because I feel like you made a really good point about you feeling like it's a sense of home now, but when it doesn't feel like home, when there's moments in your life where you say, you know, even though I'm living in Nashville and it may seem like it's a sense of home, but when it doesn't feel like that, what do you do to bring that feeling back in?
Man, that's a hard one. You know, it all goes back to remembering why I'm here in the first place, I think, because I get very homesick. Still on occasion, something will hit me out of nowhere and I'll just feel it. You know, I like to be a very busy person so that I don't have to think about, you know, missing my family so much. And I talk to them literally every day. It's not like I'm not talking to them and pushing them out. It's just that I don't want to think about not being around them all the time because that's hard. You know, I've got a little brother that's grown up. My grandparents are old, which that gets me every time. And so I just have to remember that I'm here because I'm supposed to be. It's my passion, and my family wants me to be here. You know, like they want nothing more for than for me to chase my dreams and do what I'm doing. So I just have to like put that back in perspective, maybe cry for like 5 minutes and then, you know, get back focused and grinding. But that's taken a long time. I almost moved back home about twice the first 2 years I lived here. So it takes time to get to a point to just be able to refocus yourself with why you and what you're doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was this question that I felt was so interesting for me to ask somebody. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, I think long and hard about questions, and people say, well, you should prepare questions all the time, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't, because I usually base it off of, I look for different points that people don't talk about in interviews. And yeah. I look for different things that people don't think that people are looking for. And I like to ask questions that could be personal, but also could be a really good answering point for another person. And so I felt like now that we're really settling into this really like deep conversation, I guess, if your younger self met you now, what would make them happy or sad about you today?
Ooh, let's see. I feel like they would be happy that I'm doing this, because I feel like I didn't think I ever actually would. I think they'd be happy that I have had these opportunities that I've had, like the CMT carpet and the music that I'm putting out. What they'd be sad about? I mean, I don't know if younger Charlie would be sad about anything that I'm doing. I think she'd be confused, maybe not confused, happy with the confusion, but I always wanted to get married and have kids really young so that I'd be a young mom. I'm still young, but nowhere near that. That's not in the cards anytime soon right now. But I think maybe she'd be like, oh, you know, like she chose a different path, but one that I'm very excited about, you know? So I think that's, I don't think she'd be sad about it, about anything, honestly.
Yeah. I can say. And, you know, I asked this to one of my other guests that I had on the show. When you think about that young girl that was living in Orlando, Florida, and now the older girl that's living in, I guess, or the artist now living in Nashville, what would you tell that younger self?
Man, to stop caring about what other people think of you, because I used to really get torn up about that. And now I could care less. If you don't like me, you know, you don't like me. It still might bother me on occasion, but I've, since moving here, got this backbone of kind of being like, this is my dream. This is what I'm meant to do. And I know it. And I'm not going to let anybody tell me different. And back then, had somebody said, you need to move home, you're not ready. Not even move home. Like before I moved, probably, I don't think you should do that because you're not ready for that. You need to go to college and do this first. I might have listened, you know, but now I know 100% that this is what God's got for me. So there's no doubts. And I would have found that out later, but definitely to just not obviously listen to criticism, and not saying not to listen to anybody, but don't worry about what other people think. You know, at the end of the day, the mean girls in high school, why'd you care so much? You know, it's hard in the moment when you're a teenager. And I've tried to tell that to some girls I used to babysit. It's hard when you're actually in it. But, you know, at 5 years later, you're like, why did that matter? You know, not, don't fret on the small things. For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, like there's so many things that I guess that go into a career, and also finding yourself and really finding moments where you can ground yourself in and really feel like you know what you're doing and you're proud of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it does take time. It does take time to understand yourself and to know who you want to be, I guess,
yep,
in a sense. So that leads me to your song One Day at a Time. And for people who haven't heard her new song Flowers, or her song One Day at a Time, I'm actually gonna, I think you have a video, a short clip of you performing an acoustic version of that song One Day at a Time. I'm going to
Yeah.
try and put it here as well.
Thought I'd be married by now. Two kids in a big old white house, sitting pretty on my own piece of land. Thought I'd have a lot more in my bank account. Wouldn't have me a mind full of doubts. Be satisfied right where I am. It's compare and contrast what I'm not and what they have. We're all saddled up in this pony show, trying to make the ducks look in a row. Too busy trying to make a living, forgetting to make a life. Come a long way down the road, running on empty, nowhere close. I don't know where, but I'm getting there, one day at a time.
And that basically screams what we're talking about right now.
As I was just thinking about it, actually.
Right, like it's wild to think about, you know, yes, you can have a career in music, and yes, you can move to different places in the world and feel like it could be a sense of home, but end up finding out that it doesn't, and you kind of move away and then kind of come back and try and find the roots again, and it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And so talk to me about that creation of that song, One Day at a Time.
Yeah. Man, it was funny because with that song, it was CMA week and there was like all this stuff going on. It was the Friday when we wrote it. And the night before, I was at a show at the Ryman for Chris Renzema. And he was playing, and I was just thinking about all the craziness of the week, you know, in a good way. And how blessed I felt to be, you know, invited to these things and be able to go to some things during CMA week because I've never have before. And I was also thinking, because one thing that I've always struggled with, and I don't really much anymore, but when I first moved here, I struggled with it a lot, was comparison. And during that week, there was a lot of, you know, success in a lot of things that I was seeing, like, how am I not there yet? Or why, how can I get there faster? You know, just different things. Or I wish I was performing at this or whatever, which are normal thoughts for everyone to feel at any job, honestly. And so I was thinking that at the same time, but then I have to keep coming back to, no, everyone's path is different. You are so blessed where you're at, reminding yourself these things. So when I was sitting there, I just had the idea and I wrote the first like two lines of the chorus and I had the title One Day at a Time. And it was mostly like a reminder for me to be like, and the lyrics are literally exactly what I was feeling in the room. I wrote it with Lauren McLam. And I just was literally saying, like, you know, I thought I'd be married by 23. I thought I'd have kids and a home and like all these things. And we literally just took my words and threw it on the lyrics. And it was just so real and raw to me, more so than anything I'd ever written before. And it was kind of scary. It wasn't scary, but it was, I'm not one to be super vulnerable. So it was weird for me to put something out that's so honest, because I just, that every single line in that song is exactly how I've felt at times or how I was feeling in that room. And so it really just all came together and I fell in love with it. I mean, I literally fell in love with it when we wrote it, and I knew that I was having surgery in January, and I knew that I wanted to get that thing recorded so quick and be able to put it out, because it just is such a an amazing message and reminder for myself. So I figured if it's a good one for me, then maybe other people could relate to it as well.
Certainly. And you know, I guess there are so many things that you talk about in your songs, and you're very truthful with it, I guess. And that's what makes, I guess, country music,
Yeah.
when they say it's three chords and the truth. And there's so much validity to that. And you know, when we're talking about truth telling in your songs, how do you sort of deliver that open book of honesty in your music?
Man, it's tough. You know, I'm going to be honest, the songs that I've done in the past, I've been more of an author than telling my stories. I can always relate to them in some kind of way, but with these ones, with One Day at a Time, and some that are on the EP, they're a little bit more my story. And I feel like I just had to be okay with talking about real things. And in the writing room, opening up. I've got one too that is so personal. I probably honestly will never release it because I've got to be okay with putting that out there, you know? And it's then it's like, are people gonna like it? You know, like it, that I'm being this open and this raw, or you know. So it's just a thing I had to learn. Some people can go in and be like, here's my life story, you know, just put it out there. And I'm like, oh, it takes me a minute. So I think just in growth of the 5 years of living here and writing, I'm finally starting to feel comfortable with writing things that I, you know, have gone through and feel about, you know. So.
Yeah, and it's a really great song. So, you did something at the CMT Music Awards that I want to talk about as well. You played a little fun game about giving one word,
Yes.
and you have to sing a song with that word in it. And I'm gonna challenge you to that now.
Let's do it. I'm down.
Okay, so the first word is hometown.
Thank God for hometowns, first kisses and touchdowns. It's a Carrie Underwood song.
I thought you were gonna go with Half of My Hometown by Kelsea Ballerina, Kenny Chesney.
It came up in my mind first, but then thank God for hometowns took over. I love that song.
Okay, let's do Favor.
I only talk to God when I need a favor. Some jelly roll.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Let's see, the word still.
You're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to. Sorry, my voice is a little cracky this morning.
No worries. I was kind of like worried if you were gonna sing a Shania Twain song,
Yeah.
and so I was like, if you weren't gonna pick a Shania Twain, oh, Shania Twain would be so disappointed if she wasn't picked
True.
as a song. So the next one is wine.
Better hide the wine and get it going. Some older Carly Pierce. Hide the
Let's see, saddle.
wine. Getting back in the saddle. Na 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 na. It's an Ashley Cook song. I don't actually know all the words, but I know it is.
Okay, let's see. Highway.
Freedom was a highway. Oh, freedom was a highway. Jimmy Allen.
Yeah, and let's
Fun.
see. I'm gonna try flowers.
Flowers?
Yeah.
I bought myself flowers today. Some Charlie Reynolds.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's always fun when you can really have a blast with other people,
Yeah.
and re really just like, I don't ever like people that are like so serious all the time.
Yeah, I'm definitely not.
Yeah, like it's always like really cool when someone can really open up and be honest about what they're feeling. And I guess the final questions I would have for you would be, there are different things that people are battling, I guess, that they're
Yeah.
not telling people, I guess. Like personally, I guess people who are battling things. If there was one thing that you're battling right now that you don't tell anybody, what would that be?
Oh, I think one thing that I definitely struggle with at times is feeling not good enough. And I think that's a very relatable one. I think a lot of people feel that way. And for me, it's feeling not good enough in a few different aspects, but mostly my music. Even if I know something is such a great song, there's always this little voice in the back of my head that tries to steer me the wrong, you know, tries to put these negative thoughts in my head of, you know, you're not good enough. People are going to laugh at you. That's not good. You know, what, who do you think you are? Why do you think you're amazing or whatever? Not that I think I'm amazing, but why do you think that you have the potential to do this? Even though I've been here for 5 years and I've been chugging along and I've been, you know, doing this thing for real. There's still always that little thought that's like, you're not good enough. So I think if you can get out of that and And you can just learn to say, nope, not today. I'm not listening to that. And it sounds stupid because it sounds like so easy, you know, or so just nonchalant to be like, nope, I'm not doing that. But it really does work, because that little voice in your head will start to get lower and lower and lower. But the moment you let it start talking to you and you start feeling into it, you're going to just feel that more. I think it's more of an anxiety thing that I've had, but yeah, I think if you can learn how to shut it up, that voice, then you'll be a lot more content with yourself and how you're doing.
Absolutely. And I want to wrap up by asking you about, you have a love for baking.
Yeah, I actually haven't in a long time, but yeah, I do actually love to bake.
So what would be the best thing that you can bake?
Okay, I love to, but I would not say I'm good. Like, I am not a good baker, but I made these salted caramel pretzel cupcakes one time, a long time ago. So fire. Like, those were so good. I also love pumpkin bread and banana bread. But yeah, I try not to bake anymore because I don't want to eat it. Because I will eat the whole, I mean, I'll eat like the whole pan of banana bread in one sitting because it's so good. So I have no self-control, but I haven't baked in a long time. It's very fun. And weirdly, this is not actually baking because it's from a box, but my favorite cake is Funfetti cake by Pillsbury. The best. So I like to make that too.
Well, I like to make cookies and stuff like that.
Yes.
You know, like chocolate chip cookies. First time around, no, it wasn't that great.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wasn't trying to burn them, but like, they got burnt and like, man,
oh,
they didn't.
No.
But I was like, you know what? We didn't even have vanilla extract or stuff like that. So that's probably the reason why. But you know, I feel like there's no problem with eating something like for like one full day.
No,
and
sure.
and I feel like you shouldn't be afraid of eating banana bread or a cake.
This is true.
And
I just make myself sick.
You know what? We're just gonna make a new term up. It's not binge watching. It's called binge eating.
Exactly. Binge eating is a real thing. I'm telling you.
I mean, if there was, I guess, now that like we're talking about a lot of these things, and I want to wrap up by this.
Yeah.
If there was, I guess, one person in heaven that you want to play a song with, who would it be?
Oh, shoot. That's so hard. That is so hard. You know what, though? I'm gonna go with God himself, because if I can worship along with the person who gave me the voice, that's pretty awesome. So I know we were thinking on artist level, but if I had to be honest, if there was one person, it'd be Jesus himself. So I think that'd be really, really cool.
Absolutely. Well, it's the end of our time together, but thank you so much for chatting with me. If you want to connect with Charlie, you can find her on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and on TikTok. Thank you to the listeners who made it this far into the episode. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Charlie Reynolds, American country singer songwriter. You can connect with me on social media and also find my show on all podcasting platforms. I've been your host, Jigme Kelsang. Thanks for tuning into the show.